You may like to turn in your Bible, if you would please, to the book of Genesis, chapter 2. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, again, it is our privilege to look to you specifically with thanksgiving. Set apart the time, the minutes, your time, your minutes. God, do what you do. Thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. In Genesis chapter 2, in Genesis chapter 2, you have the account of the creation. You go from chapter 1 and then it gets specific in chapter 2 in detail. So now when you're in chapter 2, and in particular in verse 18, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone," separated alone. "I will make him an helpmeet for him." And so God, in his wonderful creative way, wise purpose, is going to create for man a helpmeet. And you will note, if I can, in verse 18, "I will create him, and help meet for him." Now, help meet is one word. And then this little word, for him, preposition, after that. So now, if we take the word help meet, that has to do with helper, someone who, the word, background to the word, help, is to assist, to strengthen, to support, to succor, to come and bring health, aid, assistance, an ally, helper. And then you have the next word, which is a combination of two in your Bible, for him. And the little word for him, for, as, according as, the preposition. And then you have another preposition connected to it, so it's only one word. And thus it means in front of, to be before, to be in the presence of, in the sight of, opposite, in front of, opposite, in sight of. And it has to do with a helper. I'm going to present a helper before you. I'm going to put help before you. You need help. I'm going to create help and put it in front of you. Help. A helper. And thus, in front of them, very conspicuous, an equal, an adequate person. I'm going to create a helper. And thus, to say it another way, in front of you, I'm going to make a likeness of you, in front of you. Or you might use the little word, if you want to help with that helper, and that would be a second self. Here you are, and I'm going to put self in front of you. I'm going to give you help in front of you. I'm going to put a self in front of you. That which is conspicuous, right in front of you now. And having said that, that's what I'm going to do. And in verse 20. "And Adam gave," I need to read the little better context for you, chapter 2, verse 19. "And out of the ground the Lord formed," God formed, "every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And that name has held them there through century after century. Verse 20. And Adam gave names to all cattle, to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found. There was not found. And here's the same two words as the end, at the end of verse 18, a helpmeet for him. And now we're going to repeat it, the end of verse 20, a helpmeet for him. Here's all the animals coming. And they all have pairs, and they're coming down the corridor. Adam is naming them all one by one. And when done, it was very obvious for Adam that everyone, they're two, 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 and Adam is one. And they all had animals together, helpers, if you would, to each other. Now, but there was no helper, no support, no self-image in front of Adam. God created an image, a self-image, that is a woman. He created something in front of him out of himself. It matches himself. Every way down the line, you go down the line and start with the head and go down, and it matches. Self, a person, and God creates another person, another self, for Adam to see himself. And you'll note, please, in doing so, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept and took one of his ribs, his side, and closed up the flesh instead thereof, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto man, unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. And the two shall be one flesh. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, it's a wonderful thing. God took Adam in his, remember, this is before sin, before Genesis 3. So we've got Adam and we've got a woman. And the woman is an image, a self-image of him. So he sees himself in her and she sees herself in him. They see each other. Self-image. Also remember, they were made in the image and likeness of God. So they have a wonderful, if you look at, here's the woman looking at the man looking at the woman. And as they see each other, there's no sin. They see each other in a most, we couldn't describe it because we aren't there. We don't have it. In a most wonderful way, they see each other. In the light of God, in the light of God, they see each other, and it is good what he's done. Now, sin comes along. Sin comes along. Genesis chapter 3. And in Genesis chapter 3, you will pick up, please, in verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden after they have eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Eve and then Adam. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the cool in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. They hid themselves. Now, they didn't need to do that. They were naked and not ashamed when you come to the end of verse chapter 2. But now there's a problem. They have lost the covering. They have lost the innocency. They've lost that. They've got a problem that they didn't have. A heart problem, they need to cover. They need to cover their heart problem. Naked, there's no problem. Nothing to see. No problems. When you sin, you got a problem. And you got to cover it. God, a holy God, looking. And they hid themselves appropriately. Verse 9, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? God knew where he was. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid. Why were you afraid? Because I was naked, and I hid myself. Well, why are you naked, and why are you hiding? Verse 11. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? And the man said, The woman thou gavest me to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. I didn't do anything, God. It was she, the one you put in front of me, the one you said to reflect me, to represent me, to be my helper. My helper did this to me. My helper. Adam's out of it? No. But it's going to try to get out of it. It's the woman. Well, that's Mother's Day message. It's the woman. What else is there to say? Lost it myself. Verse 13. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. The serpent did it. The serpent. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field, and upon thy belly. Now, whatever the serpent's appearance was, as an animal, because remember, he's coming as an animal. He has all the animals. All the animals. So that you come as an animal, you wouldn't come as something you want. They used to, looking at all the animals. And here's the animal, the serpent. And the serpent then became the serpent you know. The devil became the serpent as far as animal representation. Our adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion, as a slithering serpent. And thus, God took, and thus the devil is blamed, and the devil has no one to go to, no one to blame except himself, and the devil is punished, the woman is punished, the man is punished. Now, they're all having a problem, because they're all going to be punished. Now, the devil, there's no cure for the devil. Verse 15, And I will put enmity, hostility, between thee, the devil, and the woman, Eve, between thy seed, the devil's seed, and her seed, and it shall bruise, he shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And God is going to go and judge the devil. The devil is going to go and try to get God on the Calvary's cross and bruise his heel. In the process, God made a promise. Verse 15, the first promise that God has a solution to the problem. Verse 20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve. And Eve has to do, remember, with living, the word life. Life giver, propagator, reproducer, Eve. In verse 20, his wife's name Eve, and why is she called Eve, the living one, mother of the living one? Because she's the mother of all living. And the word mother means to support, to sustain, supporting. She supports the child. She supports the child, mother, Eve, living. She supports the living one. And thus God, she believed God, his promise, and they made, God saved, gave them the recognition of their faith, and he gave them a coat of skin, verse 22. And the Lord God said, Behold, the man has become one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat for and live forever, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken, and Adam and Eve were driven out of the garden. Now, here, if you just hang on to the understanding, God made woman out of man, and she is made in front of him, conspicuous in his sight, a self-image, a self, second self, just like him. Now, and she's to be his helper, a helper to complement, to bring together. Now, marriage, as we're looking at it, that's marriage, involves marriage, as Genesis chapter 2. And in the process, it involves motherhood, as you'd see in chapter 3, chapter 4, Eve had her son named Cain. And motherhood and marriage, being alive, humans, all humans, need help. They need help. And Satan's cunning, the cunning craftiness of the devil, he exercises his influence in the world, as historically, as you know. And the woman's influence in the world has been greatly influenced and affected by the devil. And the devil comes along, and Satan is power to dominate the world system in which we live. He's the prince of the power of the air, the god of this world. And he dominates now. And how does he dominate? Where does he find the place to dominate the most? And he uses the woman. The woman blamed the devil. The woman came, the woman took of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, and ate it. So here's the woman. Going to use the woman, he is. And in the woman, what are you going to do? Well, the woman, historically, where a woman finds herself, and the devil seeks to do it, to put the woman at the bottom of the barrel, to make her lowest. And all you do is read through history, slavery, and all kinds of ways of looking at women, women's place in the marriage, and the man dominates the woman. But that isn't what God did. God made them to be complete, opposite, complete. One, just the reflection of the other. A wonderful, wonderful thing God did. But you know, sin changed all of that. Changed that. So how are we going to go and keep the world from ever believing Genesis 3:15, for ever believing the Lord Jesus Christ, the seed of the woman, would die and make a provision to save whosoever that would believe? What can we do to louse up that whole program? And thus the woman comes into focus. And where moral darkness, and mental that goes with it, the moral darkness prevails, the woman is always the sure victim. Historically, all over the world, wherever darkness prevails, the woman is the sure victim. Now, if we louse up the woman, and here's all the marriages, here's all the children, marriages, children, but the whole thing is off. It's off. And here the humans are coming, and that's why you would have, why do you think the Genesis flood occurred? Because they did evil. That wasn't men. That wasn't just men or women. It was the whole everyone except for eight people. They're looking and reflecting. That's a problem. And God made a help, but the help disappeared. And thus, any society, the standing value of any society can be determined or seen by the failure morally. Look at the place of women in the world, and it'll be like a thermometer temperature, a barometer, the atmosphere, up high, low, storm coming or not. Read where women are, and you'll know where the society is. That's what you'll know. Historically. Now, having said that, and the prevailing conditions that will come from that kind of thing. So now, looking at man, looking at woman, looking at a girl, what are we going to do? Here they are, but there's little help The woman looks out, where's help? Where's the man? The man looks out, where's help? But neither man nor woman are understanding what they're looking for. They don't expect help. I want you to help do the dishes or cook or something. I don't mean that help. They aren't getting the help. They aren't finding what the heart needs. The heart needs help, support, strength, assistance. God, here we are. So now, is boy, girl, man, woman, father, mother, here we are. So now, God, it's Mother's Day, reminding us of the whole situation. And, you know, we could say, it's a wonderful, rosy, wonderful day, and everything's going to be super-duper. It isn't going to be super-duper. It's a hard go. That's getting harder and harder and harder to go. That's all. And your plane got your head in the sand if you don't see that. It's going to be a tough go. And so, and the world system isn't going to help you, encourage you. The government isn't going to encourage you. The neighborhood isn't going to encourage you. They're going to try to do whatever and be kind and nice, but hey, they can't do it. They can't. There's no help. We lost the relationship that makes a helper. So now, having said that, thus we're looking. And we have all kinds of varied and many kinds of problems in society. And without sitting down and lining them all up and naming them, you know them, you live with them. The symptoms of the heart, the symptoms in the home, the symptoms in the country, the symptoms in the world are ongoing. They don't go away. All over the world, they don't go away. They don't go away. And the root cause, not a singular cause, not causes, singular. The root cause is the absence of God. The absence of God makes all the other causes and creates all the other symptoms. And when God is put back in the picture properly, the symptoms go away. They're all gone. No, they're still in the world, but it's just different. It's different. You know, as a believer today, God, if you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, God makes you a new creature. Old things are what? Passed away. Everything becomes new. And God gives you a way to live in this body, in this world, and handle it in a way that you'll never do apart from Him. You can't do it. We don't have it. Now, God, how's it going to work? Well, God, I'm helpless and you need to assist. I want to have hope. I want to be expectant to be able to get out of bed and give it a shot again tomorrow and the day after. God, I need aid. I need aid. God, in the midst of all the things that are happening in my life, I need an ally. I need assistance. I need aid. I need an ally. God, I need. That's what we need to wake up to. A real, legitimate understanding of the real cause and the real need, the need of the heart. Now, having said that, over if you would, to Psalm, I'm going to try to do it now, the helper. You need a help. So let's see what we can remind ourselves of. Over to Psalm, as you know, Psalm 121. In Psalm 121, picking up, please, in thought. I will lift up, by the way, all the word we're looking at, it'll be the same word. Help meet, you got help meet, it's one word. And it'll be translated help, helper. So, I want to know, God, what Adam and Eve lost out on because of sin. I want to know what they lost out on. And I want to know, do I need to understand that I am not helpless, hopeless, hapless, I'm not there. Hold it. Now, Psalm 121, great, great psalm, and you know it. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. Well, where does my help come from? The Lord is my shepherd. Where does my help come from? Where does this support, this support, this strength, this succor, to assist, to aid, to be an ally, where does it come from? My help, verse 2, there it is again, cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. So looking up out there, here's the mountains of Jerusalem, the ridge, if you're depending on where David's standing out there looking, and here's the ridges, and here's the mountain, and you're looking up, and looking out to the skyline around you, up in the sky. And Daniel and all of them, that's what they do. They bent down and looked up. They went down, looked up. Looked up past the horizon, past the ground, looked up. Now, so therefore, my help, verse 2, cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Now, the Lord made him. All right. Was that understood by Israel? Uh-huh. Jeremiah chapter 3. Jeremiah and chapter 3. And you will note, please, Jeremiah chapter 3, picking up, please, directly, if I may, in verse 23. Truly, 3 and 23 of Jeremiah. Truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills. It isn't the hills. What are you looking at out there? David, Daniel, what are you looking at? The trees? The sky, the weather? No. Truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of mountains. No, you didn't understand. My help cometh from the Lord, not from the hills. I look to the mountains and hills to go past to see where they all came from. He made them. Truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills, from the multitude of mountains. Truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. Truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. Now, having said that, and keeping that in the forefront, if you would, over to, in your Bible, to Chronicles. Need to look to God. Need to trust God. So 2 Chronicles, chapter 26. And in 2 Chronicles, chapter 26, you will note that here's Uzziah, the king, and the king, God bless the king and help the king. And the king did wonderful things. And the word help, he helped them. And thus, Uzziah did all the stuff he was supposed to do. He was able to do it. Verse 15, 26, 15. And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread abroad, for he was marvelously causative, to split, to divide, to separate, to distinguish, to be extraordinary. He was wonderful, marvelously, wonderful, extraordinary. He was extraordinarily helped. So he could do marvelous things. And what he said, and others could do it, because he was part of it, and he overflowed, and other men could do what they did. And they had all kinds of things to shoot arrows. You didn't have to use a bow. Things to throw stones. All kinds of weaponry. Wow. He was extraordinarily helped. God looking to God. Now, verse 16. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God, and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. So he went in to the priest. He took the priest's job. He was so encouraged he went in. He should have drew the line, but he didn't. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests, 80 of them, of the Lord, that were valiant men, because they're going against the king now, who's just had great victory and all that. And they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. They have the job. You took their job. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor and for the Lord's God. And Uzziah lost. He lost, he lost, he lost. He God helped him, and then he went too far, and he didn't need to do that. He needed to thankfully trust God and look to God and to the Judaic, the Levites, the priests, to do what they would do. But he didn't do that. Now, he was strong, but then he wasn't strong anymore. No, he wasn't helped anymore. Now, over to Hosea chapter 13. Hosea chapter 13. And in Hosea chapter 13, picking up, if I may, chapter 13, you get the idea of it a little bit. Verse 4, 13 and 4, Yet I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt. Thou shalt know no God but me, for there is no Savior beside me. I did know thee in the wilderness, in the land of great drought, where I kept you alive. According to their pasture, how they fed, so were they filled. They were filled, and their heart was exalted. Therefore have they forgotten me. They got all huffy and did everything, and they forgot about where it came from, why it came. They forgot where their help came from. They forgot why they were being helped, because they couldn't do it. Only one, they needed the other half, Adam did, to complete the person, as it were, at that point, to show the wonderful message. What is the wonderful message to the world? What are we supposed to be showing to the world? Ephesians chapter 5. I show you a great mystery, but not of the church, not of marriage. I show you the mystery that Christ and you are one. That's the mystery. All the rest of it is fragile. That's the truth. To be one with me. Well, they didn't know that. They forgot all about it, just like Uzziah did. And by the way, Hosea is living at the same time Uzziah does. Here's the king down here, and here's the prophet up here. They're right together. Right together. So when you're reading this, here's Uzziah doing his stuff, and here's Hosea saying what he's saying. Thus, lighting is their pasture, their will, they lost their understanding of helper. Down to verse 9. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself all by your lonesome, but in me is thine what? I'm your helper. I'm the one. Who's going to put this together? Who can be of any help? God said, I'm going to be the helper. I am the helper. I gave you the privilege of knowing it way back here in Genesis, but you didn't realize it. And when sin came along, you surely needed a helper. You lost the help that you needed. And I have restored the help that you needed by way of my son on Calvary's cross to give you the help you need. Boy, girl, man, woman, come and going, work, home, school, play, trying to get help. Where's help? Where's hope? See? Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, and by the way, you know the next thing, I will be, verse 10, I will be thy king. Where is any other that may save thee in all of these cities? There's nobody. And thy judges of whom thou saidest, Give me a king and princes. Where are they? They're all gone. They're all gone. They all rise up and they all die. They're all going to help you and they never help you. Verse 11. I gave thee a king in mine anger, and I took him away in my wrath. So you want to know, I never wanted you to have a king. You chose to have a king, and I gave you a king, and I took him away. I was never pleased with you having a king besides me. I was never pleased with you having some solution besides who I am. For having help besides my help. I was never pleased that you wanted to have help, and I was there to be your helper, and you never did it. I was never pleased. Never pleased. Now, having said that, in the light of Hosea and etc., over please, if you would, in your Bible, to Psalm 33. And we'll try to stay right in the ballpark and try to get a little something just to remind you of what some knew, not everyone. They all could have known, they all could have had help, but they didn't. Psalm 33, and in verse 18. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. Not to the hills or the mountains, to God. To deliver their soul from death, to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. We're waiting for you, God. We're waiting for you. Now, over to Psalm 70, number 70. We're waiting for you. In Psalm 70, again, in Psalm 70, picking up, please, David, in verse 4. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified. Verse 5. But God, thank God for everyone that's getting help. But what about me? Verse 5. But I am poor and needy. Make haste unto me, O God. Thou art my help, my deliverer. O Lord, make no tarrying. Hurry, I'm here. You're helping out. Wonderful the things you do. But what about my heart? What about me? Psalm 28. In Psalm 28, picking up, please, in verse 7, 28 and 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him. I am trusting in him. I am helped. I am helped. I am caused. I am made. I am being helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song I will sing, I will praise him. The Lord is my strength, he is the saving strength of his anointed, etc. God, you're an ever-present help. Everyone needs help. I needed help. God, I look to you for help. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from you, God. I look to you, and there was my help to be found. Wonderfully, wonderfully to be found. Now, having said that, keeping that in the forefront, if you would, over in your Bible to Psalm 115. Psalm 115. In Psalm 115, you would recall, as you read that marvelous psalm, Psalm 115, verse 1, Now not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen, the nations say, the unsaved say, my neighbors say, my family say, where should the heathen say, where is now their God? They're going to know where my God is. Where's my God? Help, but where's my help? God, you're my helper. I acknowledge you and look to you. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from you. There is no other help, support, assistance, an ally There's no one to strengthen. There's no, God, I can't do it. I can't do it. I was made and designed for you. And when you're missing, God, I lose out on the whole reason you take a breath of air. Why you go through pain, heartache, and headache. Why do it? Without you, God, I lose out on the whole program, the whole plan, how it's going. God, I lose out. Now, Psalm 115. In, if I can, over verse 9. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord, for he is their help, H-E-L-P, and their shield. Now, if the Israel that doesn't, well, then the priest should do it. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield, their shield. Now, if the people won't do it, maybe the priest, the people that should be on target, trusting God, they'll do it. Yea, verse 11. But if they don't do it, ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. So we're going to look to God. And if you're a God-fearer, look unto the hills from whence cometh your help. God, here I am. I'm part of this. Where am I from? I'm from Adam. And every one of you are from Adam. Like it or not. From Adam and Eve. Like it or not. We're all part of it. Say, no, I'm not. I'm evolved from a gorilla. Well, you can be. You can be evolved from a tomato, whatever you want to call yourself from. But when all is said and done and the analysis is made, you are created and found as a human in the line of Adam, and you belong to the line of Adam and Eve that loused it up way back there and sinned. And now we're all having to trust the Savior the same as they did for help. And we got a lot of multitude of varied and all kinds of situations and problems. Women, men, children, young people, sexually in every way. All kinds of things out there. Wow, in the world. And how are you going to straighten them out? We aren't going to straighten them out. But God can straighten our heart out. He can do that. Yes, sir. He can do that. Over to Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41. God can do it. And, if you would, Isaiah and verse 1. Keep silent before me, O islands, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near, let them speak. Let us come near together to judgment. Now, having said that, sliding over, if you would, to verse 8. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend, whom I have taken from the edges, ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, thou art my servant. I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. Verse 10. Fear not. Why not? For I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, here's your verb. I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you. Israel, somebody fear me. I'll honor you. I honor it. I only demonstrate what I want to do. I'm willing to demonstrate what I want to do when I find the opportunity to do it. I'll demonstrate it. Now, verse 13. For I, the Lord, thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. Now I'm going to hold your right hand. Just think of that. I'm going to hold your hand. And I want you to know that I'm going to look down at you and say, listen, I'll help you. That's what I want to know. And by the way, I'm going to say it again to you, Israel. Verse 14. Fear not, thou worm, Jacob, ye men of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I'll help you. I'll tell thee that. But no! Yeah. Do you need help? I'm the helper. Where are you going to try to find your help? Your solution. You can find it. Everything is temporary and fragile. And whatever you have, it isn't solid. You want solid. In the midst of quicksand, you want to be solid. When you're sinking, you want to be solid. So no matter what happens, if like Psalm, why not? Psalm 46. Psalm 46. Verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present, there's your little word, H-E-L-P, same word, help me, helper, strength, support. Help, a present help in trouble. Uh-huh. Verse 3. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake and the swelling thereof, Selah, there is a river. Everything can all give way, it all go. So what? There is a river and streams whereof that shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. God is right there. That's why heaven is so secure. God's the helper. God's the helper. All the way to the end. All the way to the end. No question about it. God's the helper. Now, over if you would. You got the idea. Wow. It's just there. I just need to get the source of this. Way back there, they lost the help. And when you lose that, it's awful hard to try to substitute human anything in the light of what God would have done. You can't replace what God does. You can only enjoy it if you choose. But you can be like most. Why should he? And then things go on and on and on and on and on in the world, and the problems don't get better. So now, over, if you would please, Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. And you love the little expression, or you like the little expression, I should say, thou worm, Jacob. Yeah, that encourages you. Doesn't it? Thou worm, Jacob. You know, to say, oh, am I qualified? Jacob said, hey, listen, worm. And Jacob's right up on the top of the list, you know, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Now, over in Hebrews chapter 13, please, you're familiar. Verse 5, let your conversation, your manner of life, your behavior be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. My God, you know it all. You know all the need. Matthew 6, etc. Verse 6, chapter 13. So that we may boldly say, free, frank, boldly, fearless, the Lord is my helper. There it is. And I will not fear what man shall do unto me. The Lord is my helper. He's an ever-present help. There's my help. So, God, where am I going to go? I need wisdom, understanding, patience, power, all the things I need. God, where am I going to go? You're my helper. I'm made in your image and likeness. I'm made for you. For you, as Adam would see himself in Eve, God would see himself in you. Image and likeness, mirror. Mirror, remember? Mirror reflects the object. God, I got it. A little, I got it. You're my helper. That's right. I created you to reflect that I'm God and I'm the helper and I make it all work. Out of your little life and all the things are born, children, people, all the people are born out there and come and go and all the things, but all of them are coming out and I'm going to demonstrate in your little life, I'm the helper. You're the helper. I'm helping you and you're helping me. You're made in my image and likeness. I'm going to allow you to reflect my wonderful ability to be who I am. I am God. Thus, in closing, Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4, please. And in verse 60. 4 and 60. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. There's our word bold, free, frank, fearless. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Why? That we may obtain mercy. We sure need that. And find grace. Find the grace we need. The grace of God that enables us for whatever, whoever, however. Wave upon wave. Grace upon grace. God. To be able to obtain mercy and find grace to help. There's your little verb, help. In time of need. God, we're going to keep looking to you. And here you help. God, here I am. And my assignment is to complain, compare, and covet. My assignment is to look to you. You're an ever-present help to get me to be able to have, to be, to do all that you have for me. Work, home, school, play, easy, hard, much, little. And if you're going to really do this, God, what you have to know is that the world around me and even my own heart isn't very thankful, God. You have a marvelous job, Spirit of God, to honor our Lord Jesus Christ. And your job is so unappreciated and unrecognized. And no one cares about you. But you are an absolute necessity. Just like so many women and others, you have a very thankless job. It's the way it is. It's a thankless job. It's a great job. But you're looking for thanksgiving from the world and not from God. And you lose out. Then you get all over the place trying to be and come, and you lost it. You lost it. You lost the freshness of being, I have a lot, his flowers. I have a lot of little yellow things over there, crossing the grass. They're yellow. Some have white, have turned white, and they all blow away. They're yellow. Do you know? Who cares about a dandelion? Right. When was the last time you saw a bunch of dandelions up here? Just be. Oh, I don't want to get off. Do you know in Hosea 13? I just want you to be. 14. I want you to be as a lily. The Lord Jesus Christ isn't lily of the valleys. So that's why we never sing that, because it's not. He's not the Rose of Sharon. So I don't sing that. But I will make you, O Israel, like the lilies of the field. They're so ordinary, but they're extraordinary. And a dandelion is an extraordinary thing. Now, I've never studied a dandelion. But I'll bet you, for those of you who sit up at night studying such things, I'll bet you discovered a whole lot about dandelions. They are an awesome creation of God. So simple and so marvelous.
so are you. So are you. God made you to be his helper, his helpmeet, if you would. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our head and our heart. God, what do we know? So deal with us, encourage the heart, our God, each one, all kinds of situations, good, bad, and indifferent. And God, we leave them with you, because our assignment is not to look out into the world. Our assignment is to look unto you, from whence cometh our help. Our God, we're to look to you, for you to be honored and glorified in our little lives. Just a little bit, here we are. Honor yourself among us, in us, and about us. We don't deserve a drop of it. And your mercy and grace, our God, we couldn't do without them. Thank you, Spirit of God, for all that you do. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done and do. Thank you, Father, that we can say thank you. In Christ's name, amen. Perhaps we could sing, please, a stanza 406. Did I do something wrong?